Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinkney to Pinkney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinkney. I want to talk about this Governor Snyder. He's tipping the scale of justice. Republican Governor Rick Snyder appointed his counsel, Beth Seaman, to the Michigan Supreme Court. Seaman, a personal judicial legacy that could last forever. She's a young lady, very young. She could be on for 30 years at least. A word of explanation is required at this point. Michigan Supreme Court are elected on a nonpartisan affiliation. But to get on the ballot, a Supreme Court candidate must be nominated by a party or perform the duties, tasks of gathering petition signatures. So the nonpartisan is essentially an illusion. It becomes increasingly hard to maintain as the cost of the campaign is escalating. We are living in a time where there's no such thing as morals no more. People don't believe in doing what's right. I'm excited today because I have the opportunity to talk about some of these things. We have to change the way we do business. My message is loud and clear. It's more of us than it is of them, allowing them to defeat us, to beat us down. We do the same thing over and over and over again. Here in Bering County, Michigan, the biggest problem we face is the county commissioners who has no morals. They allow women to be sexually abused by the sheriff's department deputy. It's been going on for years. And nobody is held accountable for their action. But it all starts in the county commission building at their meetings. We had two bailiffs to die plus a shooter, which doesn't make too much sense because that's what they've been doing. Anytime you know that something is corrupt, you know that the sheriff's department is corrupt, you know that the deputies are corrupt, you know that the judges are corrupt, and you do nothing about it, you create this mess that we're in today. People are still being hung. Hadley was found hung on the sheet, according to the deputies. But the autopsy ruled that it would be impossible for him to hang himself with this sheet on where they said he was found. Impossible. In other words, he was murdered. Nobody is held accountable. Nobody. They had an officer, matter of fact, he was a lieutenant at the sheriff's department. He was stealing groceries. He didn't just start this. He had been doing this for years. He'd go in there with his uniform on, and he pushed a cart of groceries out the door, and nobody says nothing. What do you do? Nobody says nothing. They sent him back to work, but he was terminated. No jail time, no nothing. Didn't even have to pay for the groceries he stole. We had another deputy, Keenan Trail, who's related to the sheriff, Sheriff Bailey, here in Bering County, Michigan. He was soliciting prostitutes on Backpage, a girl who had just got out of jail. He copied her name and everything down. With his uniform on, they went to the hotel and he had sex with her and paid $60. That's right. He paid the girl, a sheriff deputy, in his uniform, paid a young lady $60. They allowed him to resign from the sheriff department and gave him another job as the Barron County Road Commission, only in America. Now, you help me to understand this. A guy soliciting sex on Backpage goes out and meet the girl in his police uniform, take her to the hotel, pay $60, and just because he's related to the sheriff, they allow him to resign and give him another job in Barron County, only in America. Only in America. The shame of this all, I have the disposition on all of them, and I'm listening to these guys and how they had misused the women. They even had females that was in jail driving police cars while they was in jail. Can you believe that? They were driving police cars in jail. It just so happened that these women are all white. It's not their fault. They saw an opportunity, and they used it to their advantage. They saw that these guys was corrupt from the top to the bottom, and they took advantage of it, I believe. One of them was even driven to a police training section. She just got out of jail, training section. A prostitute. Wow. Only in America. Only in America. What do you do? What do you do? I mean, who would believe that stuff like this? And they have no morals at all. You see. And people are always crying that law enforcement is always right. Amazing. Amazing. But we allow them to get away with it. It's more of us than them. We have to change the way we do business. And they get the opportunity to select who's going to be a judge on the Supreme Court. These people, they're all partners in this. But we have to change the way we do business. It's more of us than them. Listen, I'm not going to prolong this. I want to bring in my guest, Gabriel, my good friend from Detroit, former Black Panther. He does have quite a story to tell. And trust me, it's something that you would like to hear. He's been a victim himself, a great guy, person who I love. I have a lot of respect and love for this person, and I know who he is. There's nothing more important than knowing who a person really is. So we just have to learn to take care of the business. Let me bring in my good friend, my guy, Gabriel. Gabriel, are you there?
Yes, I am, Reverend. How are you this afternoon? And also a good afternoon and a happy holiday season to your audience out there. And talking with you or listening to you talk, you made the point that the policing agencies of the United States of America are made up of a few. And it is a few, it is a thin blue line. There are approximately 900,000 police officers stretched from coast to coast. That's from the Atlantic coast to the Pacific coast. And, you know, that's policing a population of plus or minus 300 million human beings. So, you know, if it is the will of the people, and it is, we actually outnumber these as we used to call them, Gestapo raiding pigs, 350 million to 900,000. You know, they may, you know, they tend to, how would you say, exaggerate their numbers with paramilitary and military equipment there around the country. I know in Hamtramck at the detention facility in Hamtramck here in Detroit, they used to have a armored personnel carrier. What that armored personnel carrier actually was a Bradley, a stripped-down Bradley fighting vehicle. Now, you know, it's hard for a civilian to understand what a Bradley fighting vehicle actually is used for in the military. Actually, what it is, it's a six-wheeled vehicle. It's got hard rubber tires, six wheels, and the Bradley fighting vehicle in under battle conditions is also armed with a 50 caliber machine gun. Now, during the so-called 67 riots, the 101st Airborne came down 12th Street with armored personnel carriers with 50 caliber machine guns and did quite a bit of damage to Sister Aretha Franklin's father's house over near the Boston Edison area. It was pretty well shot up utilizing 50 caliber machine guns mounted on. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know what? That's interesting. That's something I didn't know about that.
Yes,
I know,
sir.
They did a lot of damage. I know that they were doing a lot of different things, but also that the police they shot at you, didn't they? In a car or something?
Yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, the National Guard. I was living over on 14th, and the National Guard came down the alley. I was, you know, it was after curfew, and they patrolling the streets. They came down through the alleys and saw me. At that point in time, I had a Belgian semi-automatic weapon with both tracer fire and armor-piercing fire. Yeah, they did take a couple of pot shots at me, and I fired back. But, you know, fortunately, I didn't get injured at that time, Reverend, but I did sustain a injury a long time after. That is, after I had gotten married, a police officer, she was an undercover police officer, Cheryl Robinson, broke it. Well, actually, performed a home invasion at my grandfather's house. At which point in time, I knew that I knew Cheryl Robinson. I asked her. I said, "Cheryl, I said, what are you doing over here?" And she told me to shut up, MF. And I said, "Cheryl, you don't need a gun. I know who you are. I know what you know. You're not supposed to be here." She said again, I said, "Shut the hell up." And she hit me in the right side of my ear, and it was bleeding at the at that particular point in time. She stuck the her service revolver in my chest and pulled the trigger. The bullet, you know, the 116-grain bullet went through me because, it was at such close range. It came out of my back and struck my wife. And my wife died sometime later as a result of bullet. Is a full metal jacket, 38.
Mm. Wow. So, whatever happened to her? The cop?
She was spirited out of the city of Detroit. She was either advised by her by the chief of police at that particular point in time, Chief Hart, or the DPLA, you know, her police union.
Wow.
She has never showed up at any court hearing that was asked for by myself.
Mm. So they never charged her with anything?
Nothing.
Did they ever charge her, the officer? Because your wife died, right?
Yes, she did. She died in 1980.
Mm, wow, amazing, man. You know, what they get away with is so amazing.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, just but as you said, and it is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, who would believe it, you know? I'm glad you're still here.
Well, I would believe because I got a 8-inch scar on my chest running vertically, and you can see where the projectile went in, and you can look at my back and see where it came out.
Wow. That's amazing, Gabriel. I mean, they get away with all this stuff, you know, but we don't say nothing, you know. And, you know, we
absolutely
better get it through our we better get it through our heads. If we don't hang together, we surely gonna hang separately. So that's the way it seems like it's going right now, Gabriel. And you know,
founders of this country said. You know, we either hang together or we hang separately, or get hanged separately.
Yeah, wow, that's amazing, man. That's amazing. That's a tragedy that, you know, that people need to understand how important it is to stick together, because you know, there's power in numbers, and
absolutely,
and we need to understand that there's power in numbers, and the sooner we understand that, the better things going to be. But listen, Gabriel, I got about 2 minutes. Tell us what you want people to know. I know this is talking about the death of your wife and you being shot. I know how devastating that is. It's a story that people need to know about, how this has been going on for years, and they're never held accountable for their actions. You see,
that's true.
You know, this like what's happening today. You know, people say, "Well, people getting shot." Absolutely. Then they're saying it is your fault because I shot you. I shot you, but it's your fault. Now you kidding? I didn't even have a weapon.
That's insanity. You know, another definition of insanity is doing something the same way and expecting a different outcome. You know, we as freedom-loving people in the United States can no longer do things the same way and expect a different outcome. We've got to do what the founders of this nation, we've got to pick up the gun, as always been said, and use that as a tool of a free and democratic people.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Hey, I agree 100%. You know, and we must, you know, and we must understand that, you know, is you today, or it's me today and you tomorrow. And once we understand that, we can move to a whole different level, you know. And, you know, they're using the courtrooms, they're using everything against the people. And look, even now they're assaulting women and nobody is saying nothing about it. I have never known women to be assaulted the way they are. I have not known that. I have not known women to be mistreated.
You can look
like
at the onslaught of Donald John Trump and his Republican men to see exactly what you're talking about.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't waste no time talking about him. To me, he's a waste of time. And I would not even expound on anything that he has to say. Because to me, he's a waste. He's just a waste, and people keep giving him credibility by even talking about him. I refuse to talk about him, and I will not do it, especially not on my show. And I'm going to continue to stand firm and do what needs to be done and take this thing to a whole different level. I tell you, Gabriel, it's an honor and a privilege to have a man like you on my show. I really, really appreciate you. And I know, see, maybe the audience, my audience don't know what you've been through, but you have been through some things, and the most important thing, you are still here. And here's the good news. You're still here fighting. See, that's what
absolutely.
I like most of all.
No
yeah,
question.
You're still here. That's right. You're still here fighting, standing up for what's right, which is the most important thing. See, people have a history of standing up, but they don't stand up for what is right. And I applaud you. I take my hat off to you. And, you know, my audience, they're from all over the world. You know, I even have a – matter of fact, I even have a Russian connection. So you might hear about me on CNN saying that I'm working with the Russians or something.
Reverend, as long as it's not Vladimir Putin – because he is an absolute friend and bosom buddy of Donald John Trump. You know,
yes, he is. But you know, but look, but they might try to include me in that group somehow. You know, they always say Pinkney done it. But look, I gotta let you go, Gabriel. I just want you to know I really appreciate you, and I really, really thank you. And I got to bring in Maurice Williams so he can talk about Mr. Victor. I want you to hang on and hear this story about Mr. Victor. So I know with your connections that you can spread the word about him. We need people to stop moving. People are not moving fast enough to help Mr. Victor. He's in prison right now. He's going to be serving life if we don't do something to get him out. He's going to be in prison for the rest of his life unless the people take a stand and say no more. We have to move, Gabriel. We got to get out here and do what needs to be done. We got to change the way people think about other things. And until we do that, Gabriel, it's just going to be that way. This is an innocent man in prison. It is a possibility he's going to be in prison for the rest of his life if the people don't stop moving. I know a lot of times people don't like to move unless it concerns them directly. If it concerns them directly, they're willing to help. That's the only time they're willing to help. Oh, what I'm going to get out of this? Well, you get the chance of knowing that if you ever get in trouble, that you have folks there who's going to help you. Gabriel, once again, I want to thank you so much, but I got to move on. So I will talk to you soon. Hang on and listen to the show. And we'll talk later. Take care of yourself, my brother. All right. Let's bring in my good friend from Baton Rouge, from Louisiana, Maurice Williams. Maurice Williams, mm-hmm. Are you there?
I'm there. How you doing,
How
Mr.
you doing
Pinkley?
Today?
I'm doing
hey,
all right, Robert.
Great.
I just
I
spoke with
him. You just
What'd
spoke
you
with Mr. Victor? Yeah,
I spoke
I
with him
here.
This morning.
Okay,
he brought some things to my attention. He's doing all right. You know, even his mind continuously works. He continuously, you know, he listens to God in order to he get these visions. You know, he thinks. His mind doesn't shut down. So he always has his mind on the people. And his whole method, his whole growth is about how do you get the people to come together, the same thing that we always talk about. And he's, you know, and the big wonderment is, why are we not there? What is the big problem? But it comes, I believe, to the different cultures, the different races, or the different individuals in Black America. You know, those that have a little bit, those that have a lot, those that have none. And just, you know, the unbelief system, or even the system of belief that they have that's not factual, you know, just a miseducation. But he smiled about it. I'm like, Mr. Victor, I said, I'm not brainwashed right now. He said, well, see, I just want to get the truth out of there. Because if you have a leader that believes in one way, then you have to believe the same. And it's true. But like you say, it's not to be disputed about religion. What is to be disputed is one fact. How do you get the people to come together as one to build your numbers up, to get power to make change? And that's the question. We always talk about it, but what is the way?
Right. You know, and that's a good question. One of the things I always say, what do you do? You see, what can you do? And it's always a question there. And here, like even in the black community, you can't hardly call. You can't call the police. If you call it, you liable to get shot. You know, or sent to jail yourself. See, a lot of times, if you never walked in my shoes, you'll never notice. If you never been black, you don't know this stuff. You don't know what these folks are doing, what they're willing to do, because you're not like that, and you just don't happen to be white. Doesn't mean that everybody is like you. And believe me, I say this: 67% of the people. Let me talk about my community, my county, are this way. You call the police, you got a darn good chance of getting shot yourself or taken to jail. This is this is a known fact. And in your case, when I think about Pastor Victor sitting in prison, and believe me, your hands are tied, because I know how the courts operate, and I'm too embarrassed to tell you how they operate, because there is no such thing as justice in our community. There is no such thing. If you under the illusion that there is, you need to get out there and get in these courtrooms and start court watching and watching what goes on. What goes on is criminal. They are the real criminals, these judges. You know, like in our community, we got, I call them the Gang of Five. It's five of them. You got a guy named Wiley. You got a guy named Losada. You got a guy named Schofield. You got a guy named Chirac, and you got a guy named, what's that last guy, a Carter. These guys, it's a gang of five. And what they do, even though Louisiana is the prison, probably the prison capital of the world, you know, per capita.
Yeah.
We don't, you know, it's all over the country like this. It's not just in Benton Harbor. It's not just in Barron County. It's not just in Louisiana. It's all over the country. And the reason it's all over the country, Maurice, is that we allow them together. We won't come together for nothing. We too busy trying to be better than the next person, better than your neighbor. I don't care what my neighbor got. I don't know. You can have $1 million and walk around with, I care less about it. All I
That's
care
true.
About
we
what you doing in the community.
Because we leave each other defenseless. We no one supports. We'll talk about it like we're there, but we're not. But you notice that every country that has power, they have power in the army that could defend their ideal. Our nation of black people don't have no defense, because we're not defending nothing about ourselves. We're not defending our educational system. We're not defending our economical system. We're not defending land. We're not defending anything about ourselves. And we need somebody to have a solution in order to defend all of us. That's why Amendment 28 is serious. And I've been looking at the numbers, and nobody's signing it right now, but they don't understand that Amendment 28 is for our people, because the system has our people, and it's about protecting convicted offenders. Redemption clause, and all of it is based on the Bible, you know, because that's what everything derived from here in the American culture and the legal system. You have a redemption plan that you can actually be redeemed with the family by paying restitution or whatever for forgiveness and get your freedom back, as you did, you know, in slavery. You can buy your slavery, your freedom. You have where a sentence can't exceed 25 years unless they seek a death penalty. It's true that you have individuals that are sick enough to belong in prison, but you have a lot that don't. Then you have long sentences for crimes that do not deserve for your life to be taken for your worth to be devalued. And we encourage everybody that's black and alive and reading, to go to the website, Amendment 28. site.wordpress.com. Read what's on it concerning Amendment 28. Read the Victor Treaty Jubilee and sign the petition. It doesn't hurt. It takes less than 2 minutes. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beginning. It's something to come together. It's not taking no excessive time from anyone. And it's easy to do. It's for Mr. Victor, and it's for all those that are under the same conditions as Mr. Victor. All of those who face injustice. Amendment 28. site.wordpress.com. When we're dealing with the song Favor, Reverend, we're dealing with revenue. We're talking about 99 cents for a song that has a spiritual movement towards it, because that's what we need. If you're not moved in the spirit, you're not going nowhere. And that's what God needs. That's what kept Mr. Victor strong. Just imagine, this is a man who was doing prominent things in society, building for his people. You turn around and you arrested him for the death of his child because you couldn't find nothing up. Dude, they know it was asthma, yet they still arrested him. His charges were squashed and he was freed 3 separate times and re-arrested. They just wouldn't let it go, and he spent mass amounts of money on it. So what they ended up doing was strip him of everything without even being prosecuted. If that's not something, and the bad thing is he had nobody to defend his honor. Even those that was there, they said, yeah, that was wrong. Can't believe this happened to you. But no one came out there to save face. Nobody came out there to defend the honor. So now he's looking for the way to defend everybody else because he understands that he was a defendant. He had money. He said, Maurice, man, I had money, but I had no power, so they took my money. He said, what is money without power, without people to support you? And you will never have power in the people if the people don't come together with love. You need love. And we hate so much, we envy. We got the slave mentality down south to where, you know, you're about what you have. That material value of yours is what everybody look at. You might look like you have something and you work your butt off to get it, and they just put on you as though it comes easy, but they don't know what you've been through. They don't know what's, you know, the shoes that you walk in. And us men not making moves. We have our women out there working double hard because we don't know how to be fathers. We don't know how to be husbands. We don't, you know, want to be the head of the household that keep everything together and structured. So we have no strength in our nation. We're not respecting our black men, our black women. So it's like no other races are respecting our women. And these are those who bring forth our children, our answers. And this is the way. If we don't save our adults, you know, the people that are enslaved, the people that face injustice because they're knocking us off in order to, they castrate us by incarceration. They, you know, they leave our women to be stronger, to be men and women, you know, be fathers and mothers, and it's destroying us. But we're allowing this to happen. And if we don't change, if we don't see the truth in it and stop being the value and give ourselves value, godly value, human value, then we're not going to do nothing. We're going to continue to do the same thing. But if we keep talking about things and we're not doing nothing about it, then everybody is at fault. Everybody need to make a move. I know one thing, the NFL is on today. They got a lot of people watching it, a lot of black people. Black Friday, I bet you black people is out there getting this Christmas stuff together. What about doing the small things that don't take much time, that don't take away from you? You know, it's small things, like going to the site, signing that, protecting. And it seems like everybody black in America got somebody that's in jail. You might have one black sheep in your family, but it's there, you know. And we'll say that nobody's perfect. Well, we need to seek perfection. We need to find a way. We need to seek the solution. The solution for convicted offenders, the solution for the injustices that we face as a black nation is to come together as one. Let our voice be heard. And they cannot deny or ignore our voices. They have to make a change. Amendment 28 site.wordpress.com. Go on that site. Read the contents. Sign it. Go to Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Ringtone. Look up Reverend Errol Victor. Check out the song Favor. Donate that 99 cent for a great cause. There's nothing to lose. We spend that on, you know, things that we don't never use. We waste that at times. We ask you to donate that for a proper cause, and you will see the harvest of it down the line. Be part of the beginning of things. We always look for the things that are already complete and finished, and we always spending money. Why not get in the beginning? and see, you know, things grow, jobs created, you know, families structured in the neighborhoods that are beautiful, educations that are beautiful. That's going to give our children what we need because the future is coming. It's expensive and it's crazy. And they don't want us to have no part of it. They want us to stay slave-minded and weak, insecure, and just beneath and inferior as always. We need everybody to come together, Mr. Pinkley. We need everybody, Ralph. We need everybody.
Yeah, I know.
And we need
to
understand. Like you say, it's power in numbers. They can't just come at you
that's
if you got a team behind you.
Absolutely. And it got to be like this. Let me ask you a question. How's his wife doing?
When we communicate with her often, so she's throwing that thing at St. Gabriel too. She's with the movement. She's, you know, she's promoting Amendment 28. She stands strong. Her spiritual nature is strong. You know, I don't know if she's weak and hurt in any aspect because I only hear about the good side of the pursuit she's at. If, you know, she's strong
mm-hmm.
right now. She's strong.
Right.
She's growing.
You know,
let
me say this, Maurice. I feel so terrible. You know, not only for Pastor Victor, but also for her. To me, see, it shows what they can do when we don't come together and work together. I mean, it's shameful
yeah.
and it's disgraceful for both of them to be in prison, possible for the rest of their life if we don't do so. And I tell you this, you know, what do you do, you know, Maurice? What do you do? How do you stop this stuff from happening? But, you know, what angle do we need? Where do we go? Because this thing is worse than I ever thought it was going to be. When I was growing up and even in school, I never thought that things was like it is. If you would have told me that the system was corrupt, and if you would have told me that there was no justice here in America, I would have to question it. I don't have to question it no more. And Mr. Victor is sitting in prison, and nobody wants to do nothing about it. You know, we have to start standing up for what's right. I'm going to do what I can, and I tell you what, you got 2 minutes. Tell everybody again what they can do and his wife. Both of them are in prison. So you only got 2 minutes, so tell it like it is.
The suffering is real. I watched the children stripped from them. I watched the freedom stripped from them, but I watched the spirit and the strength strong. So they rely on God. They turn towards him, and they're grateful to him for just having life and to be able to move forward. But he was put here, I believe, in order to see this side of the world, in order to manifest the mission that God has in store for him. The first thing is what he's doing with Amendment 28 to protect convicted offenders, which all black men are subjected to, even women. And we need you to go on Amendment 28 site.wordpress.com. Read the content, sign the petition. That's good news for us right there. That's good news that we've been looking for. We can get laws instilled in America, but we have to get our numbers up to be heard. We need revenues to do other things for our people. It's not just for him. With him, even his fight for freedom, him free is better than him being locked up because he has the vision. He has the mission. He has the way, and it's not just for him. It's for his people, the people that he loves, and it's through God, from God. It's the mission. Go to Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, Ringtone, download the song Favor, 99 cents. It's for beautiful causes, and the good news is that it's for our people, period. And it's God's mission. It's God's work for us. We just need those who have spirits that are guided by God, that worship God, that worship Jesus, to come forth and let them know what their faith is about. Believe in this and pursue this.
Wow.
2 minutes and 99 cents. That's simple, to save a man's life and to protect all convicted offenders, all individuals in America, so they won't fall to this injustice. We need our numbers up. We need to come together, and we need every individual that is black and breathing to do this. They're not just hearing, but they're going from do to do.
All right, Maurice. Hey, I appreciate that, because
And those of you who are out there who are listening, please just let's do what we can to help this man. Let's see if all it takes is to download 99 cents. You can afford 99 cents. Spend 99 cents and get the information. I'm going to put that information on my website so people can go to it and download it. And let's bring Mr. Victor home and his wife. I'm telling you this. There are innocent people who are sitting in prison today. Maurice, I will talk to you soon, and let's see can we get this better organized so we can get some help for them. I want to thank you so much. God bless you. God keep you. Give Mr. Victor and his wife my love. Tell them I'm going to continue to fight as much as I can for them, and we're going to take this thing to a whole different level. Thank you so much. I will talk to you very, very soon. Thank you.
All right, man.
Now it's time to bring on my good friend, Rodzie. And you know, it's amazing when you sit down and think about what's going on in the world today. And, you know, a lot of times people don't really understand and look at it from the dark side rather than looking at it for what it really is. My good friend Rodzie, she was in Iran, and she's a war family. Her husband was in the service, and she's a type of person that you need to know. Rodzie, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I'm blessed to be here. And I'd like to say that not everyone in the world is awful. And we have
That's
to really
true.
Judge everybody by what they are and what they stand for and their walk and their relationship with God. And that's so important.
Amen.
And I'd like to ask everyone to just every day to get up and think of three things that you're grateful for, because it does help you live this life. You know, we could say it sucks every day and awful things happen, which it does, because I've been through them. But, you know, remembering God and remembering the people that he sends through to help us get to where we are, because he does send those people. And it is so important that we have to remember that it's us standing up, not voting for the same things that have screwed us over, wanting a life where we have a job. We try to get an education. We try to help each other to get out of where we are. And that is important, too, I feel.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right.
And I tell you one thing, Raj, you know, which is so, so amazing, is that, you know, we need to understand how we can all come together, stand together, and simply stand up for what is right. How difficult is that? I mean, it seems like it's the easiest thing there is in the whole wide world is to stand up for something that is right, and it seems to be such a challenge for some of the people. I don't quite get that.
Well, right. To go
you
to
know,
the other side of it, our politicians are just so corrupt, and people aren't paying attention, and they just go with it. I was listening to a lady who worked for a city councilman here in Los Angeles in the San Fernando Valley. And my question was, we have all these propositions on the ballot, no matter what your political party is, and the votes went to help fund the homeless. My question was, where is the money? Where is the money? And she couldn't really tell me. We voted for money, mm-hmm. So there's millions, billions of dollars out there for the homeless. So each of us have to help in our way. A lot of us, we don't have money. It starts with a smile on your face. It starts with compassion for what other people are going through. And when
mm-hmm.
I...
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
Rob, let me say this. You asked, where is the money? You know, that's a very, very good question. Where is the money? Because, you know, one of the things that I learned, I could talk about it here in Barron County, Michigan, where they the money in their pockets, and when they get caught, there's usually one guy for 7 years. This guy was stealing money from the senior citizens, and they knew it. He stole over $1 million, and they knew that he was doing it, and they all buddies with each other. So they don't send people to jail for stealing. That's why they do it. But we as the people, we're too busy to hold them accountable for their actions. And they know this. Nobody, like when you go to the city council meeting or when you go to the county board commission meeting, the place be almost empty. Nobody have time to hold these people in check. And then when you get there, they know that there's not enough people there that they do whatever they want. They'll cut
right.
you off. They'll say whatever they want to do. But Roz, I tell you, you got to start going to these city council meetings. You got to start going to the county commissioner meeting. You got to start going so you can really see what's really going on, because you can't see it unless you go there. And they got a lot of mumble jumble about everything that's going on. Believe me, Roz, you got to go. You got to start going to these meetings. And believe me, you have a whole different perspective of everything. And go ahead.
I was going to say that I go to the town hall meetings for Congressman Brad Sherman from the San Fernando Valley, if you've seen him, and also Matt DeBockney, who's my assemblyman for the state of California. I've only missed now because I've had the surgery, and I'm having surgery on Wednesday. So I haven't been for about, a couple months here. Or if I don't feel good, I don't go. But I go early, and I put myself in the front row. I'm not screaming. I'm not yelling. But I'm taking in what they are saying, and I got my little ticket. So hopefully they'll call on me, and I can ask a question. But some of these things they're saying, it's just so disgusting. They've just sold their souls out.
Mm-hmm.
Brad Sherman said at one meeting that these illegal aliens here were just like the Jewish people that were in the concentration camps in Europe. And with that, I almost fell off my chair.
Mm.
Because here in California, not every illegal is a wonderful human being. We have the gangs who are not. How do you get all these gangs when we have this wonderful country of free education, probably free health care for them, probably helping them with apartments, et cetera, and they have gangs running around killing each other, killing other people and on dope. It's awful here. And I like to see the statistics on how many of them are so wonderful. But I know a lot of them work two jobs. They're here for their kids. They're here for a better life. But as a teacher in the schools, most of the kids I saw didn't care about doing anything or even listening to the teachers, and misbehaving was just everything that they did, just like the student that sprayed me in my face with the toxic chemicals from a fire extinguisher that just changed my life forever. And Charles Smith at Gompers had a student, too, who sprayed him in his face, a black man who's dead now. So I can't get excited about all these illegals here that want handouts everywhere, that take jobs from blacks and low-income people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? My thing is that they came here to do something good, and America is not what people think it is. We sit here and think. I feel bad for people who come here. We got to change all the way around. We got to find ways of making things better for everybody. And when people come here, if they come here and things is not what they expect it to be, which is a lot of situations that's like that. My thing is that we have to learn to accept people for who they are. It doesn't make a difference. You got some good people, you got some bad people. You got some bad people, you got some good people, And the key is, everything starts with you. When it comes to something that goes on, it starts with you. the key is make sure that you're doing the right thing. If you're doing the right thing, you know everything else will fall right in place. That's how God do. You know, he makes sure that you're doing the right thing. If you're doing the right thing, then the next person will do the right thing. And it's like a chain reaction. And this is why we don't come together like we should. We should be we should be fetched in all the wealth that is surrounded by these billionaires and stuff like that. You know, people can't even get good medical service. They can't get health insurance. They can't. You know, there's so much going on because they can't afford it. But you got these billionaires walking around here with all this money, got more money than they ever need to have.
Yeah, but I'd like to say something. I'd like to say something about them. You know, I don't have all the figures and different things, but the rich people in this country are paying for 40% of the people in this country. So, I mean, we need to back off a little bit because there's about 40% of people who don't even pay their taxes who are enjoying the life here. So
the billionaires don't pay no taxes either. They don't pay taxes. I don't see paying for 40%. No. It's the middle class people that's paying additional tax. They're the one that they're squeezing.
Right.
They are
squeezing the middle class here, which is just terrible. But I'm certain a lot of, I mean, we need to look into it, but somebody's paying for this here. And there's a lot of people that aren't paying anything.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
We have to kind
of
really
look at it. There's so many people that's unemployed. That's the biggest thing. And we got people unemployed, and they claim people don't want to work and stuff like that. Well, $15 an hour is not a whole lot of money to work for. But yet still, they're complaining about $15 an hour. Give everybody a fair shake. You got so much money, give other people an opportunity to be able to eat. You got people starving in this country, not because they're lazy or don't want to work, but because there's no job available that they're hiring for. And that's what this consists of around here. Anytime that you have that top 1%, them billionaires, they don't pay no tax. And yet, it's not that they're on welfare. They're welfare recipients, those billionaires. They get free everything. Like I can talk about Whirlpool here. A $20 billion company don't pay any taxes at all. How could that be?
But there are people who are very well-to-do who are paying some of the taxes. But I would like to look into that to really find out. But, you know, I'm big in these occupational schools, and I would really love for these football players to really go into their community where they are playing football and really start these up. So the occupational classes, so both men and women, young adults, or even older adults, can go and take these classes and be ready to be in the workforce.
Absolutely.
And I wish, because they've got millions and billions of dollars of football players, and I would like to see them really do something with their money and their knee, personally.
Absolutely. Very good. Anyway, I'm down to 30 seconds.
Still loving.
So what I'm going to do, I'm down to 30 seconds, and I tell you, I want to thank all my guests today. I think everybody had a tremendous time. The board is lit up. I got folks in Russia listening to our show now, so you might be hearing on CNN about Pinkney and the Russian connection. But stay tuned next week, same time, same station, the Pinkney Show. Thank you all for listening, and I tell you, I'm excited about this show. God bless you, and we'll talk to you very soon.